Dermot and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Dermot and Dave, it's Today FM. No tears left to cry. Maybe your tears will fog up your amazing new glasses that you're going to get. Because do you remember Google Glass, the cool smart glasses that Google thought everyone would wear?
Nobody did.
Well, now Facebook have released their own version of these weird smart glasses, but to make them look cool, they've teamed up with Ray-Ban. Tell us more about them, what they can actually do. We're joined by our tech journalist friend, Jasper Hamill. Jasper, how are you?
I'm good, yeah. Nice to speak to you.
You too. Isn't it strange that something that was attempted and effectively rejected by society has been brought back again?
Yeah, I'll never understand this about Facebook. It was rejected when it was released by Google. Snapchat released their own spectacles, which I called surveillance specs, and they were not very successful, and I think they're in their third generation. And then Facebook released this strange device called a portal that you put in your home, which is kind of a video calling device, and that wasn't very successful. And now they're coming back with these sunglasses, which look great, I have to say, but they've got a tiny little camera in them, and there's no guarantee they'll be successful, because Facebook has kind of got a slightly dodgy reputation when it comes to privacy, which is working on. But, you know, would you want Big Zucker being able to peer through your sunglasses when you were out at night doing whatever it is you do at night?
Yeah, what is their kind of, their sell on this? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, if you picture a traditional pair of Ray-Bans, you know, and where the front of the Ray-Ban is just slightly to the left or right of your eye, slightly up on the flat bit, that's where the cameras sit. So what are they kind of selling them as? Who do they think is going to want to wear them?
I think they're going to want, assuming that people who are influencers, it'd be useful for people, I guess, who played sports or anyone that's kind of content creators. The shtick they're saying is they want to help people, and this is a quote, feel connected anytime, anywhere, and create a sense of social presence, the feeling that you're right there with another person sharing the same space. So I guess in terms of people making TikTok videos or YouTube videos, that would be really handy. And there's no doubt the technology is going to be great. It's Facebook, it's Ray-Ban, they look cool. They're not very expensive. I think they're sort of €300 odd, which is not cheap, obviously, but it's not ludicrously expensive, certainly.
Yeah. But I mean, you could spend that much on a pair of sunglasses that did nothing but be sunglasses. So at least these ones will videotape things. And they'll also, don't they also like control volume? And do they have speakers in them or anything like that?
They do have little speakers, and I think you can speak to them. And voice control is becoming more and more common these days. You know, just 5 years ago, it was kind of a novel thing to say, hey Siri, or whatever, okay Google, yeah. But now it's really common. So yeah, you'll be able to switch your lights on and off. You'll be able to tell your computer to do things.
Your lights on Facebook with your sunglasses indoors. You probably will need to do that. You'll be tripping up over your coffee table.
Yeah, but I think what's the main problem though, Jasper, with these things is that they're really unnecessary. I mean, a lot of technology is unnecessary, and I know Dave is a fan of unnecessary technology.
Hell yeah.
And wants it all. But like, the fact is that if people don't feel the need to wear something on their face, and even if you do team up a Ray-Ban, is that going to actually make it, you know, was it ever really a style issue?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they probably are pointless. And I think people are always going to have that brand image associated with Facebook, whether they like it or not. So people who are likely to spend money on this kind of technology are always going to think at the back of their mind, who's going to be able to see what I'm up to? I think to make this successful, you probably need a brand new company to come along, because this technology is inevitably going to become popular. But whether it's I don't think it's going to be Facebook that does it. Google hasn't managed it. Snapchat hasn't managed it. In my eyes, it probably has to be a brand new company, and they'll come along with these, game-changing specs.
It's interesting that they kind of talk about this first-person, you know, view, that it changes, you know, your kind of perception of some event or an experience because you're seeing it, you know, where people have their eyes usually effectively. But in reality, I remember like Casey Neistat, who's a YouTube vlogger, hugely popular guy. He had a company where the idea was you would wear your smartphone camera facing out so that it would literally be a first-person vlog all the time. He got massive funding. It was bought by some big company. It was like, this is it. 2 months in, we foreclosed the company because it's terrible. Nobody wants it. Like, people just hold their phones and point it at something. That's fine. Like, this kind of, you know, overcomplicating it and, you know, turning it into something you wear just doesn't seem to have any kind of purpose.
No, you're right. And I think often with these very, very long live streams, what, you know, I've gone to a concert and I've streamed 4 hours of it. People actually tend to watch the edited stuff. Like, I live in Glasgow, and Limmy, the comedian Limmy, is big here. Mm. And he goes on Twitch and he streams for hours at a time. But I suspect that his biggest audience is the little minute clips, the 2 minute clips he chops out and he puts them on YouTube. And they're brilliant. They're hilarious. Could I sit through 3 hours of Limmy? Probably not.
That is right.
No disrespect to Limmy, a great comedian.
We love him, yeah.
I get that feel. I think with these constant live stream, you need a bit of editing. And I don't know if there's any point. Yeah, I think people like to know that they're taking their phone out. It's photo time. You put your phone away, photo time is over. You can go back to talking about inappropriate things and doing inappropriate things without worry.
That's
being caught.
Well, someone's glasses are recording
it. It's annoying enough if you're with someone and you're out and they insist on documenting every aspect of it and telling everyone where you are and you're having a great time. And usually it's without your consent. If the person is sitting, at least as you say, when the phone's away, the phone's away. But if they're sitting there wearing a pair of shades that could be live streaming your entire conversation, it's uncomfortable for the people around the person who has the technology.
I think it's deeply sinister. I think it's worse than that. I think we're going to have to get used to the idea that all our interactions in public are going to be recorded. I mean, what are you going to talk about? Sometimes it's good to tell rude jokes and talk about controversial things and try out controversial ideas without thinking someone's going to then come back 20 years later and say, you're a hateful pig because you dared to say this silly thing when you'd had 8 beers, which you didn't even mean. Do you know what I mean? And that's my worry. And my prediction is for youth culture, I think there hasn't been a backlash yet, but I predict a kind of no tech nightlife scene. It used to be that I grew up in London, and the nightclubs of London, some of them used to take your camera off you when you went in, so you could really kind of sin in peace without worrying about getting caught. And I think the kids are going to do that, because you look back at all the great periods of the 20th century, none of them were videoed, none of them were filmed, and that kind of adds to the mystique when you think about the Velvet Underground or something, a bit of obscure reference there, Andy Warhol's factory. None of it was captured, and therefore it's cool. You think, oh, what was that like? And if you read about something in the newspaper and it said, you know, it was this amazing event, this amazing band played, this amazing artist showed their work, no one has any documentation of it, it was so great, you weren't there, sorry. People are going like, ooh, that's exciting. That's my prediction, no tech youth culture.
All right, well, whatever happens, you gave us Sin in Peace, which is the forgotten Depeche Mode album.
Jasper Hamill, tech journalist, thanks very much for filming us on that.
Cheers.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Dermot and Dave. Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.